So this is an interesting shiur, and because we're only using this week's parsha as a as one example of something that happens a lot in the Torah or in Tanakh, not a tremendous amount, but sometimes when we find that Nevi'im, and Moshe is the chief, he's the head of all Nevi'im, when they, let's say, they decide they want to perform a miracle. So the question is, how much freedom do Nevi'im have? Do they have to consult Hashem before they perform a miracle? Or somehow do they have power to perform miracles even without Hashem's explicit permission beforehand? And obviously, you know, sometimes in Tanakh, we find that Nevi'im seem to act without Hashem or seem to act or try to perform miracles without Hashem's, without consulting Hashem beforehand. And the question is, does that work? Can they do that? And so we're going to study just the story of Moshe and Korach, and we'll try to flesh out at least three approaches as to how to understand this interesting theological question. And I guess we'll begin where we find, you know, after Korach, you know, starts the rebellion against Moshe. So Moshe says in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Dalet, so after they gather, and Moshe, why are you guys in charge? Moshe said, Vayishma Moshe Vayipola Pada. Moshe listens, he falls on his face. And then Vayidabel Korach Vel Kaldaso Lemor, Boker Vyoda Hashem Esa Shalom, Vesa Kadosh Vikribilav, Vesha Yivchar Bo Yakribilav. So Moshe says, in the morning, God will choose who will determine who is the chosen one. And Zosa Suku Chulachem Achtos Korach Vachodoso, I want everyone should take different pans, fire pans, Usnuva Hen Eish, take a fire, Vesima Lam Katoras, and put incense on them, Lifnei Hashem Machar, for God tomorrow. Voya Ha'isha Yivchar Hashem Hu HaKadosh, whoever God chooses, he is the chosen one, he is the holy one. And so it seems, again, on the surface, again, you could explain this away, on the surface, it seems that Moshe creates this test himself, that God's going to choose who is the is going to select the who's going to choose who's the holy one. And by the way, a little bit later on, when Moshe gets angry at Dasan and Aviram in Pasuk Tezayin, he says, "Well, we're going to make the stakes a little bit higher now." Well, he's going to say, he says, you know, everyone should take a machta, a fire pan. I'm sorry, a little bit later on, Moshe says in Pasuk Chavches, Vayor Moshe bezos tedun ki Hashem shlachani, with this you should know that Hashem is my messenger. Lasos kol masi ba'ela ki lo bilibi. Make my own power and assert my own authority without God appointing me. Im kamos kol adam yimusun elef kudas kol adam yipaked alehem lo Hashem shlachani. If these people die as normal people do, then Hashem didn't send me. Vim bria yivra Hashem. But if Hashem creates something new, fatsa adam as piha, and the earth opens its mouth ubalal sam as kol shelahem and swallows the people up, then you're going to know that I am the chosen one. And then what happens? This miracle happens. So, essentially, how could Moshe trust that Hashem would agree to this test and enact a miracle on Moshe's demand? Again, this, and by the way, this was no ordinary miracle. This is a miracle that would cause death. And it would be an unnatural death. And the question is, do Nevi'im have the power to do this? Okay?
Well, yeah. Doesn't the Gemara say someplace, Tzadik Gozer, Bekadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim?
Okay. I mean, I'll do one better for you. I'll bring you psukim. There are two psukim in Tanakh which are used to indicate that Nevi'im seem to have prophetic ability.
What Eliyahu is, also did it, right? With the rain.
Eliyahu did it.
Elisha without God's consent.
Right. That's what it seems like. Okay? That's what it seems like. We're only going to read sources dealing with Moshe's situation. But I think there are legitimate schools of thought. This is an interesting case study in terms of what the literal meaning of the text says and what your philosophical belief is.
But doesn't it say in Pirkei Avos also that this is one of the 10 things that were Moshe's?
Okay, so I'm not sure.
Well, I think that Hashem already had it planned.
Yeah, what is that? It's very unclear. Baruch is referring to Mishnah Pirkei Avos, says that the mouth of the earth to swallow up Korach was already created. So therefore what? Does that mean that Hashem designed it should be? Hashem was waiting for a Navi, a Tzadik to do that? I'm not sure if it definitely points in any direction. But let me just point out that in Yeshayahu, I have here, you see here in the source sheet, right? So if you see in the source sheet here, Yeshayahu Perek Mem Dalet, Psukim Chav Hei and Chavav, Mefer Osos Badim Mekosim Yeholo, Meshiv Chachamim Achor Vedata Misukal. Hashem frustrates the tokens of the imposters. He makes people who are divine, who are sorcerers, he makes them mad. He turns wise men backward. He makes their knowledge foolish. Make him Devar Avdo. Hashem confirms the word of his servant. Vatsas Malachav Yashlim. And he performs the counsel of his messengers. Okay, so that seems to indicate that his avadim, if they say something, he will fulfill it. And Eov also, Vatigzar Omer Vayakem Lach, right? That in Eov it seems to say that they can say something and it will happen. That's what Eov is told. If you decree something, Vatigzar Omer, if you decree something, then Vayakem Lach will happen. So that's the question. There seems to be some indication. So we're just going to study again. You can study it with Elisha, Eliyahu. You can study other stories with Moshe. So we're going to just do a brief study of three schools of thought, at least to understand the Korach Moshe story. So the first approach, and by the way. The possibility that a Navi can act on his own raises the question of whether in so doing, can he make a mistake and misrepresent Hashem's will? As great as a Navi is, he is not God. So there's
Rabbi,
yes.
In Pasuk Chav Dalet, Dabel El Haidele Mohelu Misim Mishkan Korach Dasam Be'Aguram. This Kadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe to tell us to the people.
Right. So according to the school of thought, it's very correct analysis, Evan. According to the school of thought that Hashem basically made this whole plan. So Hashem is sort of saying that basically tell everyone to leave because you're going to do something big. So that would seem, I don't think it's an ironclad proof. You could simply say stay away, but there's no question.
But look at Pasuk Lamed Beis. As soon as Moshe's finished talking, Atiftach Boretz Espiha.
Right. No, I understand. I understood. The question is it because Moshe and God's fulfilling his will, or is it because God told Moshe? And certainly in the beginning, right, in the beginning here, Moshe makes this plan. Again, you can read into certain words, as some of the Farshim will. But you can read in the beginning, it's all of a sudden, right, Moshe makes the plan. On the surface, there's no indication that Moshe consults Hashem. You could read into one pasuk that he does, but on the surface, it doesn't seem that Moshe is consulting Hashem. But you're
Rabbi.
Yes,
I don't think there's a possibility of the Navi making a mistake, because all the Navi is doing is performing the miracle without asking Hashem ahead of time, but it's Hashem who's allowing him. Is actually fulfilling the miracle. So Hashem feels the Navi is wrong in what he's doing, Hashem right. simply wouldn't allow him to do it. The only difference is, instead of saying, Hashem, I want to do this, Hashem saying, okay, Navi is simply, in effect, drawing on Hashem's power to do it. But it's Hashem who's doing the miracle and has the ability to say, no, I'm not doing it because you're wrong.
Right, maybe. I mean, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I wonder if Hashem simply give, just like, that's certainly a reasonable possibility, Howie. I think another possibility could be that just like God gives us wisdom, right? Each human being, forget about Nevi'im. And God gives us the ability to use our wisdom and God gives us certain talents for good or for bad. So maybe God gives Nevi'im power. In other words, just like he gives me the ability to use my feet and walk, and I can walk to do good and walk to do bad, maybe Hashem gives power to Nevi'im to do things they can do good or bad. We know that Bilam, you know, sometimes he would, in the story when he tries to curse Bnei Yisrael, so then there are limits to what Hashem will allow Bilam to do, but maybe in other instances he does allow him to do things. So that's an interesting question. In other words, In other words, does when Hashem gives a Navi, if a Navi achieves a certain status and he has certain powers, can he use it for good or for bad? Can a Navi make mistakes? Or do we say that since this is a supernatural power, so therefore it could only be something that God feels is good? That's what Howie's arguing. I'm not sure if I, you might be, that certainly is a position. I'm not sure if I...
I think Bilam is a case that's, of course, Bilam had the ability as a sorcerer to do miracles, but subject to Hashem's approval. And Hashem said, in the case where he wanted to curse Bnei Israel, Hashem said, no, I'm not letting you do it. You're not using my power to do that.
Right. But in other words, can a Navi do something? So in other words, there are limits there, but could there be other instances where a Navi does something and he has the power and Hashem will allow it even though it might not be in his best interest?
That's a good question. Are there any instances where Navi misused the power?
Eliyahu HaNavi, says that Hashem is not happy that he stopped the rain.
Right. There are some instances. Yeah, that's a good example. Okay, so let's go through the three possibilities. But I'm just saying, just to think about it, if the Navi can do something on his own, does that indicate, is that an issue? Because he could be fallible. He might make a mistake. So let's
just... Moshe and the other Navi?
What?
Moshe by himself and the other Navi by themselves?
Yeah, so okay, I'll touch on that at the end. It could be, there are some, that's a great point, there are some Mefarshim that suggest that maybe Moshe might be different than other Navi. Okay, that's a good point. I didn't bring any sources for that, Evan, because I don't know if I have the time in this year to discuss that. But the Bravanel and the I'll mention at the end. It's a good point. Okay, so let's read some of these sources inside. Okay, so you first have the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, so there's one key there. The question is, what did Moshe do when he fell on his face? Vayishma Moshe vayipol al parav. So the Rashbam says, and again, I don't think this is the simple reading of the text, but you pull up and off, so that might be okay. He fell on his face for tefillah. You know, nefilah sapayim, we fall on our face, we pray. That makes sense. But there, v'sham nemar lo masha amar lo korach. And there, it was said to Moshe what he should say to Korach. The Rashbam is of the opinion that everything that Moshe told Korach was dictated by Hashem. Hashem told him how to proceed. Okay, this was not Moshe's invention, and that's why he says in the pasuk of Ches, kilomi libi. If you know that if they died in a normal way, it's not. Then it said, this is not for me. Shechinachtim b'torash kishamarti atava aron ish machtoso. This is not my thing. You know that I said this ketoras test. It's not me. It's Hashem. And he says, if they don't die a normal death, lo Hashem shlachani, el asisi midati. So he's saying that if they die a normal death, then that will prove that I did this on my own. Shetzivisim lahaktir ketores. But if they die in an unusual way, then you know that Hashem, this was Hashem's idea. The Rashbam is of the opinion that he wants to read the story And he says that this was Hashem's idea all along. The Navi cannot do anything new. And you'll have to read how he reads the story of Eliyahu. I'm not sure if Rashi has a position on Eliyahu. But you have to read about how, at least with this story, he says that Hashem sent him. The Ramban has an interesting line here. And Ramban actually brings a few different approaches. So in one approach, he says, one of his passages, he says, he cites a view which is similar to this. V'yesh omrim ki vayishma Moshe v'pol panav lidrosh es Hashem ladas ma yaseh. Then when Moshe fell on his face, he wanted to seek out Hashem to know what to do. Vazne marlo, boko v'yado Hashem, etc. And then Hashem told him, and afterwards he said, this is what's going to be, in the morning you're going to, this is the plan. V'lo nizkar zeh rak b'sipur Moshe la'am. And we only in the Torah, it only mentioned Moshe is saying this to the people. Chvar heriticha, kivim komos rabim, pam yarich b'dibor Hashem Moshe, v'yikatzer b'sipur Moshe. And Ramban just points out, different points in Tanakh, sometimes it will go on and say what Hashem spoke to Moshe. Because what happens? Hashem tells Moshe, and Moshe tells the people. So sometimes the Torah will go on its length and say what Hashem said to Moshe. And it will shorten when Moshe told the people. And it won't say a lot. Upam yaseh behefech. And sometimes it will say a lot about Moshe telling the people, and it won't say a lot about Hashem telling Moshe. Well, if I'm lo yaskir ha'achad klal. And sometimes it won't even mention one of the two things. Explicitly, Kasher Baba Maaseh Bnei Gadu Bnei Ruvain Shesiper Akasuv Amaseh B'Moshe Ba'atzmo V'Nasa Pi Hashem K'Moshe Amru Es Asher Diber Hashem Lavadech K'Naseh. So another example is when the Bnei Gadu Bnei Ruvain, right, 40 years later, the Bnei Gadu Bnei Ruvain, they want to have the land on the eastern side of the Jordan River. You know, that's the Greater Israel, right? So they want to have the Transjordan. They want to have the land on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and so Moshe then says to them, "What? Well, how can you do that to your people?" He says that, okay, if you come with us and you fight with us so the women and children can stay behind and you can inherit the land to the east side of the Jordan River, the simple reading of the text is that Moshe came up with this plan himself, but there is a verse which says, "Es asher diber Hashem lavadech k'daseh," that which Hashem said, so we should do. So again, this is a situation where it doesn't say explicitly at the outset that Moshe heard what to do from Hashem, but indeed he did hear this from Hashem. So again,
the case you're bringing down is that Moshe is reversing what the Ruben and Bnei right. God said.
Correct.
They said the other way. So he had to teach them, so he reversed the order.
Correct, but you're correct, Evan. But for our purposes, the point that the Ramban is making is that even though, for whatever reason it is, but even though it's not explicit in the text that Moshe himself, I'm sorry, that Hashem told Moshe what to do, but Hashem really did tell Moshe what to do in this case, because this first approach suggests that the reasoning of when Hashem says explicit, when the Torah says explicitly that Hashem told Moshe what he didn't say explicitly, it's not always so clear. But what seems, according to this approach, that the greatness of a prophet lies in his strict obedience to the word of Hashem. That the fact that his autonomy is limited here helps ensure that basically this is all about Hashem. That as great as a Navi is, how is a Navi great? That he sends God's message to the people. He is a conduit, he is a voice box of Hashem, but he has no freedom, he has no powers by virtue of being a Navi to do anything without Hashem telling him first. That's sort of one approach. Okay? A second approach is that the Nevi'im do have autonomy. Not only do they speak the word of Hashem, but they have certain powers. Rav Yosef Albo writes in Sefer HaYikarim, so he was a philosopher in the Middle Ages, and he wrote a work called Sefer HaYikarim, and he says, Uber zehu al derech zeh, al zeh derech, Sheikar gadol el haTorah v'shorish el haEmunah shumistayf emunas hashkacha hu. So what's a foundational principle? Shehashem Yisbarach machriya chateva tachos kapos ragli amamidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, forces nature under the footsteps of those of the believers. K'mo she'amar Moshe Rabbeinu achar tefila she'sider b'mizmor tefila l'Moshe ish Elokim. After Moshe, because just like Moshe said a prayer in Tefillah Moshe, Amar Shayoshe v'Seis Elyon umislonim betzel shakai. Hine hu mavtiach also bavur Hashem yisparach sheatzilei mipach yakush mina dever mipkoy mativiyim. The Moshe said, according to our tradition, the Tefillah of Moshe, that was a psalm that Moshe said, and it's a prayer that Hashem should protect him from bad things. He's going to step on, trample over vipers and lions. We find this among pious people in times of Chazal. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Shiniach Raglo, Akhur, Ha'arud, Vinashko, Harud, Vames, Harud. So apparently there was this, there was a lizard or some kind of reptile that would basically, it would bite people and people would die. But what happened? It bit Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and the reptile, the lizard, died. So he said, "Hafach mashe roi miderach atevalios." It changed the nature of the nature. V'amr l'talmida banai lo arun memis el chait memis. He says, not the poisonous snake or whatever that kills; it's the sin that kills. Nimsa shat sadikim mishtana hateval pi dibura. Righteous people have the power to change the nature by their words. Amar Rabbi Chanina sha'amar mi sha'amar lishmo ve. God said that oil should be lit. You can say the vinegar should be lit, and v'hayakein, and it happens.
Umi, his daughter didn't have oil.
Right. And anyone who has a doubt that Hashem would not fulfill the will of the prophet or the righteous or the pious person who's fitting for this. You are bringing doubt in the Torah and its basic roots. And whenever there's going to be a Kiddush Hashem, you need to publicize. That nature is subservient to do the will of those who observe his Torah and fulfill his mitzvos. So obviously, Rav Yosef Albo clearly states that the Navi has powers. The Rambam, also in his Paras and Mishnayos, he writes that, he says that, he brings here that, he brings the stories of Eliyahu and Elisha who resuscitated people, and he says, Shekol, in the next, so this, let's go to this next page here. Shekol Mosim Shaase Eliyahu Elisha Vezula Sam Menavim Lo Asu Osam Ela Kedei La'ameitz Nevuasam. That the you talked about the miracles Eliyahu Elisha did are only to, they didn't do it in order to show that their prophecies are true, but he says they only did it because it was necessary. Ubiglal Kirvasam Lifnei Hashem, because they were close to God. Yisala Malei Ritzonam Kvoshiv Tuvtchot Tzadikim Vatigzar Omer V'Yakam V'Lach. So he cites the pasuk in Eov, and he says, because they were so close to Hashem, so Hashem fulfilled their will. So again, this is a second approach. There are other mefarshim, I'll just bring you a few sources. There are other mefarshim that would say that, The Ramban, the Ramban says explicitly, he cites Unkelus. In our story, that in the Ramban, in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Vav, where the people say, you killed the nation of God after the Korach and his people were killed, and his followers were killed. Omar Unklos, Atun Gramtin Demis Amat Hashem Yiftor, Ki Yashumu Osam Al Shinastu Eitzah Zos Lachtik Torah Zara Lefnei Hashem Midatam Shem Makvim Osam Nisrafim. So they Unklos says that the people claim that Moshe, you did this, because you knew they were going to die. Ki Hashem lo amar la Moshe lahakviv haktoras hazos. Because what happened? Hashem didn't tell Moshe to offer this ketores. V'hu lo amar l'Yisrael b'shem Hashem lasos came. Moshe didn't tell Klal Yisrael the name of Hashem to do this. So therefore, what happened? What do the people say? Im kei me'atzam nasnu eitz hazos shem eisu bo'am. So what happened? They complained to Moshe. Why did you do this? You devised this scheme yourself. You know, why did you do this? And they could have, They could have made another sign to prove that they were the chosen. Why do they have to do this sign? So the Ramban cites Unkelus, who says this explicitly, another approach, which says, in this instance, you know, Moshe never says clearly that Moshe Moshe consulted God. And that's the other approach, that Moshe created this on his own, and because he was so close to Hashem, Hashem fulfilled his will. Okay? It's not, and by the way, it's not against what Howie was suggesting. You know, it could be that had Moses suggested something that was very bad, then Hashem would have stopped him. Right? They're not necessarily in conflict. But in other words, it's not as opposed to the first approach, which Hashem devised the plan, and Moshe just filled out. In other words, Moshe was like, oh my gosh, so I got a rebellion. God, what should I do? And Hashem then said, okay, this is what you should do. Make the fire pan test. According to the second approach, Moshe devises himself. Okay? There's actually a third approach. And the third approach, by according to the second approach, it seems that, at least Rav Yosef Albo says very clearly, that the leaders are those who do not wait to consult with Hashem, but when necessary, they take the initiative to act on their own. And the ability to act independently is a fundamental belief. That a prophet who does not exercise that ability, that's a bad thing. That's the power you're given if you're a Navi. There's a third approach. And the third approach is the Bravadel. And here he says the following. That there are one or two possibilities of different miracles that, you know, that Nevi'im can bring about miracles. So in other words, we're saying that the Navi can cause this miracle to happen from he has a power to change nature. It's not simply because he's a Navi. The reason why he could cause a change in nature is because he's close to God. So what's he saying here? This approach is that some people, some Nevi'im, had the power because they were close to Hashem that they would daven to Hashem. Eliyahu and Elisha and Shmuel and Yoshua, they didn't do it based on their prophecies, based on the mitzvah of Hashem. Aval hayu heim ba'atzam mis overim lasos mipav chasidusam ayde tefila v'stachdim v'shem nisporah. It's not that they said that they had the power automatically to say this miracle is going to happen and it happened, but they sometimes act on their own, trusting that Hashem will answer their tefillos and perform miracles on their behalf. It's a little bit of a nuance. In other words, the second approach is that I have free will, just like I have free will to a human myself, to eat, to drink, to walk somewhere, to go somewhere, not go somewhere. I have free will. I'm not praying for that to happen. I can do a lot of things on my own. A Navi has the power just to change nature. He's given that power, and he can use it when he wants. According to the Bravanel, it's not because he's a Navi, but it's because he's so close to God, and since he's so close to God, that he, in effect, is praying. When he decrees, when Eliyahu and Elisha, when they were decreeing that this should happen, they are praying to Hashem to fulfill his words. And there is a risk, maybe a small risk, that Hashem will not answer affirmatively. In most instances, Hashem does answer. Hashem does listen to them. But this is more about tefillah.
Anyone can dominate.
Exactly. I'm going to conclude with that point, Baruch. But let me just sort of to address Evan's point. I didn't want to bring the next part of the Abravanel, Evan, but you should know that the Akedas Yitzhak and the Bravanel actually say that, in general, other Nevi'im acted on their own, and Moshe generally acted on God's command. And it's interesting, you might think that there's greater power to act on your own, and Rav Ravenel says, no, it's greater power to always act on Hashem's command. You know, obedience to Hashem is actually greater. Yeah.
Right.
It's not just a question of acting on command. I think that the explanation is that Moshe's relationship with Hashem was closer because he was a shittuf with Hashem, and the Nevi'im weren't. So Hashem and Moshe discussed everything, and it's like in Bereishis when Hashem said to the Malachim, Nase Adam. And that because Moshe had a much higher relationship, the two of them discussed everything, while Elisha and Eliyahu, the relationship wasn't that high. They were able just to do miracles, and they weren't on the same outbreak of consulting with Hashem and talking to him on like a daily basis.
I mean, maybe you're right. I don't think that that's how these Mefarshim read it, some of them read it. In other words, that's a possibility. Obviously, when the Rashbam says, for example, "Vayipol Pavli Tefila Visham Namar Lo Mash Amar LaKorach," I don't know if everyone agrees to that approach. You know, the Tefila approach could be if you look at Tefila, Herbie. So Tefila is a two-way street. So there, maybe there's a dialogue there. I'm not sure if the Rashbam would agree with you or the Ramban's first approach. He's Lidrosh Hashem, Ladas, Mayaseh. He wants to know what I should do. So I think your approach is a legitimate approach, but I think that that more fits in the third approach of Tefillah. In other words, we have three different approaches. The first approach is that Hashem, basically Moshe asked God what to do, and Hashem always tells him to perform miracles. The second approach is that Navi has independent power. The third is that someone who's so close to Hashem prayed to God, and maybe there, for me, the way I look at tefillah, that's like a dialogue, and certainly a Navi actually can hear back. You know, for us, it's a little harder to hear back more clearly, but the Navi can hear back, and that's more of a dialogue. And the Ravenel says that maybe there's a difference between Moshe and other Navi, that Moshe actually did more things just being commanded as opposed to other Nevi'im. And I want to finish with Baruch's point, which is...
In light of that, isn't there a belief that if two people do a mitzvah, do the same action, one because he believes it's a mitzvah, Hashem commands him to do it, one because I think it's a nice thing to do, doesn't the person who's commanded get a greater reward than the person who did it just because he thought it was a nice thing to do?
The truth is, I don't fully understand that. I mean, I understand what you're saying, I understand what you're saying. But I'll tell you my challenge is there's conflicting evidence that's what you mentioned. How is what Evan just said? Gola mitzuvosa mishayed mitzuvosa. It's greater as the person who is commanded. Than one who is not commanded and does it, because he shows that he's being obedient, and that certainly reflects what you're saying. That reflects the Abravanel's approach. How Moshe was at a higher level because he simply did what God said, and he simply surrendered her will to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The challenge I have with that approach is that I know there's a piece that an article I read by Rav Lichtenstein who quoted Rav Kook, who said that, you know, ideally, he said there are certain mitzvos that we do because, like, you know, there's something called Torah values. There are certain mitzvos that we do, concrete mitzvos that we do, and they're also like values. And he says that the Torah didn't want to command us in everything. That with respect to certain things, we needed to be commanded, but on some ideal level, which you sort of want to be in a position where you intuit, you know, the will of God. It's sort of like how the Avos were before Matan Torah. The Avos before Matan Torah, right, they intuited, when we say they kept all the mitzvahs, whatever that means. But on some level means they intuited what the right thing to do is. So he also points that there's some value to getting to developing your religious personality where you sort of are intuiting, you know, the will of God. Where Gadol says, Yeirah Eli, it seems to me that this should be, you know, where the Rashi will say, or the Ram will say, Yeirah Eli, or Libi note, it seems to me that they have this like halachic intuition of what makes sense. That in other words, you've internalized Torah values, so like, even though it's not technically commanded, this is the right thing to do, that you've sort of gotten to the point where you're sort of like one with the truth because you're so immersed in Torah. So I don't know fully how to reconcile the two. Like, one's in the process, one's the destination. So, like, you're totally correct. You're setting a correct point. I had to reconcile the two completely. I still have to work on a little bit. But in any case, let me finish because we're 10 minutes over. But I want to finish with Baruch's point, which is the following. When you read about this, the first two approaches is something that we cannot relate to, right? The first approach is Hashem tells a Navi what to do, and he does it, right? He hasn't spoken to me as far as I know directly. The second approach is a Navi has certain powers to change nature. I've tried, I haven't been successful. The third approach, though, is something that we can relate to a little more. The Navi is so close to Hashem, he can daven to Hashem, because Baruch Hu will always answer his prayers in the affirmative. So that is something which is a model for us. Obviously, Hashem doesn't always answer our prayers favorably, and there's more to tefillah than that. But I'm saying is the third approach is more of a model for us. And it's more, if you look at a Navi as a culmination of, you know, the greater, you know, we are connected to God, the more perhaps you have the ability to maybe, you know, change nature. Obviously, there are limitations in what the exact parameters are, and why do bad things happen to good people? You know, that's a very difficult question, but I'm saying the third, at least the concept of tefillah having the power, at least some power, to change nature, that's found at least in the third approach. Anyway, this is just an interesting theological debate, and this is one example, but you could look at Mefarshim about Elisha, Eliyahu, Yoshua, and see where they come out as well.